I'm yours, Jimmy Church. Check this out. A pair of severed fingers discovered on a picnic table in Minnesota has completely confused authorities that are searching for answers. They were found last month at a recreation area in East Grand Forks, and the mystery digits, no pun intended, have proven to be a confounding puzzle for the local police because they can't figure it out. If you got missing fingers, missing feet, missing limbs, they go to something, don't they? Check out the entire story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. All right, let's get back to it. Time travel phone calls, open lines on Coast to Coast on a Friday night. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast. We're going to go straight back to the phones. We're going to go to Wild Card, Minnesota. John, welcome to Coast AM. You're up.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call. I think that one of the things we need to talk about with time travel is the La Palma experiment. That was a scientist out in Russia, I believe. Richard C. Hoagland's talked about him before, and what he did was he experimented with rotating masses, like huge blocks. And in one experiment, he placed a clock above the rotating mass, and he found that that affected what time was on the clock. And all of this was done inside of a Faraday cage to prevent outside electromagnetic interference or, you know, anything of that nature.
Right.
Now, I'm thinking that, okay, well, it's not very practical to create a time-traveling device with a giant block of concrete, and that can be obviously quite dangerous. What if you could take, and instead of the rotating mass, substitute that out with a rotating plasma? That way you could polarize it. It could go around one way. It could go around the other way. There needs to be more experiments to determine, you know, how much you would need to go into the future, how much rotation you would need to go into the past. But I think that ties in with the discussion about rotating black holes and also the atomic clock experiments that were done in the 1970s, where one, they took the atomic clock just up in altitude, brought it back with a reference clock,
right,
display different times. Because, you know, you're getting further away from the source of gravitation. I think there's probably more than one way to achieve time travel, just as there's more than one way to make a light bulb. You can do the incandescent, you can do the compact fluorescent, you can do the LED. The first time we achieve time travel as a human race is probably going to be the low-hanging fruit. What is the simplest way to do this?
Sure.
And then, just like we have a variety of different airplanes today, there will be different possibilities on basically how to do it.
Well, let me ask you this, John. With the, and I like the rotating plasma idea, and so I'm thinking you're referring to, it would be counter-rotating plasma, right? One plasma ring on top of the other, counter-rotating on top of each other, correct?
You can do it that way.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, like I said, there's going to have to be further experimentation.
Sure.
To find out what these effects are going to be.
Sure. And so I'm imagining standing in the middle of this ring, this rotating ring, is that where this... you know, this vortex or this window in time would open up?
Well, right. You would basically need a compact device. So instead of having this giant black hole and trying to somehow manipulate that, you have a compact device. Now you could have one that would be saucer-shaped in nature, or getting into the idea of the vortexes you mentioned, you could have something like a Stargate or a portal. Like I said, there's probably more than one way to do this, but it requires some exotic things, and we are just not quite there yet, but I think we're on our way.
Well, John, let me ask you this. If you could do this, and you've got your plasma working correctly, and you could jump in the middle of it, where would you go? What would you do?
What would I do personally?
You got to want to go somewhere.
Probably back to the 80s.
You would go back to the 80s. Why? That's a good choice, actually.
I grew up in the 80s. I've got a certain fondness for that time period. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Correct some mistakes, you know.
Okay. Fair enough. No, I'd go back to the 80s. You know, 1980 is actually a pretty good year, you know, if you think about it.
Australia that year.
Well, Randy Rhoads was touring with Ozzy Osbourne with Black Sabbath, and Van Halen was out on their first tour. Think about that. That was a good year to go hang out.
Indeed.
For sure. Thank you so much for the phone call, John. Fascinating.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Let's go to, let's see, let's just go the longest here. Let's go to Wild Card, San Diego. Mike, you've been on hold for over an hour. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Jimmy. You had a prior caller who kept reiterating that time was not linear. And, you know, I love these kinds of shows because they give very, very diverse opinions. But sometimes I tend to grit my teeth only because I have a differing opinion. One of the differing opinions is that time is actually linear. And let me walk you through the quick steps of why.
Sure.
The most powerful thing that has ever existed in the universe was the singularity prior to the Big Bang. It contained all of the matter and of the energy of the universe. However, it did not contain time. Time was the nothingness that the singularity existed in. It was just sitting there waiting as a non-entity, non-permeated yet until the Big Bang occurred. And then when the Big Bang occurred, space and time, or space, matter, and energy permeated that bubble of nothingness, which is time.
So, Mike, let me jump in, and then I'll let you finish. So you are of the opinion that the Big Bang actually happened as stated.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough.
Right. So now matter and energy have now permeated the field, this nothingness field of time that existed outside of the singularity. It's just sitting there. It was just always sitting there waiting for something to occur. And when Big Bang happened, that's what happened. But that is a linear state. It pushed everything forward. With respect to time travel is a backward time travel is an impossibility because that requires that every single point in the universe, every subatomic particle down to the quantum state, right down to quantum foam, and right at Planck time, everywhere at the same time, all things in the universe must have enough power to grind the universe to a halt.
Right.
And then reverse everything exactly back along the pathways that they had traveled in.
Right.
All virtual particles popping in and out must now reverse themselves backward to exactly the same points they were in, to whatever, however far back you want to go.
Right.
I'm not sure, you know, whatever that ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot, second law of thermodynamics says you cannot generate that kind of power because it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
The universe existed at that singularity. So therefore, backward time, not only that, those events no longer occur.
So
they don't exist anymore. So you can never go back to that. That's why, you know, but I love the concept of being able, the only stipulation I would say is that where that may be a shortcut or a short circuit is quantum entanglement. Because at anywhere in point in time and space, you can have two light particles entangled with each other, regardless of where they are. So to me, what that says is that the exception to that particular rule, and because it happens at such a small scale, is that, well, as far as we know, is that the tunneling effect of quantum entanglement says that two of these particles existing where they are, but see, they're also flowing forward through time as well. And so you can move from point A to point B without going forward through time, but spanning potentially vast distances.
Yeah, but Mike, let me jump in though, and say this: what you're referring to isn't time travel, and so let me explain the difference. What you are talking about is reversing time. And backing up the universe and starting over. Absolutely. The amount of energy and everything else to take the known universe as we know it and back it up and start over, but that's not time travel.
Well,
travel is a different concept. We're not talking about reversing time and starting over. we're talking about.
I'm not talking about starting over. I'm talking about reversing time to get back to a point in the past. That to me is what backward time travel is. The current concept, as people understand it, as time travel is that you're at point A in the present, and that you are going to pop in, say, 2,000 years from now, and then poof, there you are. So how does that occur? So what needs to happen is that some sort of distortion in space-time needs to occur for you to go from there through it to then. So that, to me, in my mind, you know, as limited in thinking, I'm not the brightest person in the world.
Right.
But that thinking in my mind says that in order to make that happen, that is a short-circuiting of space-time. You would have to literally rip the fabric of reality as we would understand it,
mm-hmm.
and traverse that fourth dimension,
right?
In a way that to me seems inexplicable. But the most practical way, if you wanted to explain backward time travels, is to stop the universe, reverse it, and to get back to where you need to be at that particular time.
Right.
Now, forward time travel, that's already been proven. I don't see how that is, you know, there's multiple experiments that show that forward time travel is not an issue at all.
No, it's happening right now.
It's happening right, correct. It's happening right now. It's not an issue. Generating enough power and energy to be able to accelerate through it is really the only limiting factor. But listen, Jimmy, I love when these programs occur because I am always riveted to hear diverse points of view. And I appreciate the time that you took to allow me to voice mine.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And always remember, the only way anybody learns something is by listening. You don't learn something by not listening. And that's why we talk. Thank you so much, Mike. Great phone call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Let's go let's go all the way north to Alaska. Rob, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're up next.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good. I had a little story. I come from a very famous Indian clan, so to speak. I'm a Lakota. I'm a direct descendant of Sitting Bull.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, I have a lot of vision dreams. I've had vision. I've gone on a traditional vision quest when I was 13, whatnot, and practiced a lot of traditions. I live in the woods, just like a normal Indian. My sister thinks I'm crazy. She lives in California.
Sure, I get that.
I own my own water, you know, the whole bit. Traditional, in the woods, in the cabin, raising kids, sled dogs. Anyways, in 1992, I had switched from work dogs, Canadian Eskimo dogs, to Alaskan Huskies, and I had this really strong dream one night that I was out with my team and some sort of big body of water, and we broke through. And I had got my dogs up on top of the ice, but I couldn't get myself with my sled, my gear out. And basically, I drowned. I woke up in a sweat and a panic, you know what I mean? And so every time I went out training and I'd run rivers and creeks or even lakes up in the Northwest Territories in Canada, sometimes I'd break through overflow or hit a spot in the ice was wet. And, you know, I'd keep thinking from the dream, is this my time to go now? You know, I dreamt I was going to die drowning, but I'd saved my dogs. Well, in 1995, I took a contract to teach for 6 months up in a community called Pelly Bay, Nunavut, and a six-month hotel course. And I was out on a Sunday when I didn't have to teach and my hotel course, and I decided to go on a dog sled run. I brought up 12 dogs, and I took 9 out and asked people where to go. People were out sealing because they seal in the spring there. They do overseeling. Their actual name is Nansivalik, which means people of the seal.
Okay. Hey, Rob, listen, yeah. I want to hear the entire dream and not run out of time. We've got 2 minutes. So go ahead. Finish.
Anyway,
I want to hear it.
So I go across a crack and it's 3.5 feet in the morning, a crevice. I come back that night and I've got 150 yards going out open sea. So I have to unhitch the back hooks of my dogs, swim across this water about 50 yards. I got my dogs up on the ice, and I couldn't get out. My sled had sunk. A snow hook grabbed the ice, and it was over 20 feet thick. And all of a sudden, I'm 4 miles from the community. I can see the community. All of a sudden, the snowmobile is a mile and a half down the shoreline coming up. He sees the dogs, but not me. You know, they know whose dogs they are. So he heads down there, and he stops, and I can't get out. I've been in the water for a long time. All I know is I was shaking, hypothermia, and I see my great uncle, Sitting Bull, and he reaches out and says, "Grandson, what are you doing in the water? Would you like to get out now?" And I said, "Yes, please." And he pulled me out, and he says, "It's not your time to go. You still have some more teaching to do."
Wow.
And then I shake the cobwebs out of my head. I'm all shaking, and I'm soaked to the bone. Now I'm freezing because I'm standing on the ice. And it's the Eskimo guy. There's an Eskimo man standing in front of me. And I was wondering how that happened. And so we hooked the skidoo to my sled and to the gang line. It pulled the sled out. I got in it and in the basket, and I went 4 miles in Xperity. But I saw my great uncle Sitting Bull come to me. Now, he must have tried time travel, because there's no way that I didn't travel. I'd seen the dream, but it was him saving me.
Did the other gentleman on the shore, did he see your uncle?
It was him. I didn't see him. The first, it was a vision of my great uncle pulling me out.
Right. No, I understand that. So there was only one person on the shore. That's what I'm asking.
Right.
Right.
And when I kind of shook the cobwebs out of, because I was freezing and chittering, I was like stage 3 hypothermia. They ended up taking me to the hospital anyways. But it was my uncle who was saving me and saying, "Grandson, it's not your time to go. You still have people to teach." And I teach food service and meat cutting, cooking, whatnot. And I went all over the Arctic doing it. And
well, what did you say to Sitting Bull? You had to respond. What did you say to him?
I said, "Grandfather, how did you know it was me?" He says, "I've been always watching you." He said, I actually study traditional medicine and the herbs and plants, and, you know, living like a normal Indian."
Right.
And I was shocked, and I says, I don't believe that you're here." And he says, "I came to save you. It wasn't your time to go. You have still, you know, more to teach." And then when I couldn't believe it, I was shaking my head, and I started shivering because of the wind and the cold. I was freezing up. I was soaked to the bone. And then I saw the Eskimo guy, and he said that something told him to leave, to go home, and he lived 140 miles up the ice.
Right.
Otherwise, he would have stayed that night. So he must have been given directions or a feeling from Sitting Bull to come. It was his time to go. It was me he needed to save. Otherwise, nobody would have been there. I would have drowned. I was tied to my sled, so I figured if it was my time to go, because it was a deja vu thing. I've seen this before. I'm in the water. The dark here, you know?
Right.
And I figured, well, if I die, at least my body's here floating to the string. I'm not going to sink down to the bottom of the ocean floor.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, Rob, that's an absolutely fascinating story, and I want to thank you for calling in. And that's the best part of Friday night, is being able to talk to all of you about stuff like this. So thank you for the phone call. And, you know, the thing is, when it comes to a vision like that of a family member and your life is saved, you know, what does that tell you? That's the thing. There is something else going on, isn't there? This is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. All right. Check this out. Time for a little shameless self-promotion. But my show, which is called Fade to Black, is It airs Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10, right before Coast to Coast. So you get a full 6-7 hours of the paranormal, time travel, lost civilizations. It's all good. And how do you get there? Just click on my name right there at coasttocoastam.com. It'll take you right over to jimmychurchradio.com. All right, it's a time travel night, Friday going in to Saturday morning. More of your calls next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go east of the Rockies to Illinois. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you are next up on Coast to Coast. What's up?
Good morning, Jimmy. I talked to you a while back. I was a hospital corpsman that used to be on the USS San Bernardino.
Okay.
I had an abduction alien experience.
Okay. I remember. And,
yes. Well, time travel is a reality. Been there, done that. That was so ha-ha last century.
Okay. So what happened? Okay, what happened?
Well, I'm just saying that I know for a fact that it is a reality. Now, it's technology the extraterrestrials have, but I'm sure that our government possesses that technology now that we don't even know of.
Well, but Kevin, when you time traveled, where did you go to? Did you go into the future or did you go into the past?
Both.
How far?
They showed me things of the future, which I feel were end of time events, Armageddon type events.
Right.
Wasn't looking too good for the home team Earth, the things that they were showing me. Now, I didn't ask to see any of this, but they did take me back to when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and I saw myself coming out of the house that I grew up in, walk across the street, talk to my grandmother, who died in 1972. And this is in 1982 when I observed this.
Right.
Now, I only observed it. I never experienced it. I only saw what I saw.
Right.
And, well, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
I tried to get a hold of you through your website.
Okay.
I filled out the little information, you know, to submit. And I've been trying to get you my phone number so you can call me and talk to me about my experience. And every time I push the submit button, it says unable to send.
Interesting. And, well, they must know who you are, Kevin. Just try it again and stay on top of it, you know, just like anybody else around here.
For hours and hours and hours. And
I can assure you, Kevin.
Technology.
Right. Kevin, hold on. Listen, I can assure you that it's not our system or anything. We get lots of email all day long. Just keep trying, okay? And I really appreciate it. And just put in the subject line, you know, coast to coast, and it'll get through to me. And I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Kevin. Oh, he's already gone. Let's. I want to go to west of the Rockies. I'm going to go to Idaho because Jeff says he met a time traveler in the 80s. Jeff, what happened?
I was in the Navy. I was on a. We were visiting a little island called Diego Garcia, and I had a gentleman walk up to me and start talking to me, and he said that he was a time traveler. And that he that time travel had been in existence for a while, and that he was there to help the president in the Cold War.
Really? What year was this, Jeff?
82.
82, Diego Garcia, which is a military installation, as everybody knows.
But I was in the Navy, yeah.
Yeah, you were in the Navy. Was this guy in uniform?
He wasn't in uniform. He was in some strange clothes.
Like what? What do you mean strange?
Well, they were civilian clothes, but it wasn't clothes that I recognized. You know, not fashionable kind of clothes.
And did he tell you what year he was from?
You know, he was very vague on most things. He said that he wasn't allowed to give out any information, but that he, for some reason, and I'm a very ununique individual, but for some reason he was supposed to talk to me.
How long did you talk to him, Jeff?
We spent about an hour together.
No kidding. What did you guys talk about?
Well, the thing that prompted me to call was you said that, you know, the Milky Way is a spiral, and he mentioned to me that time travel had to do with spiral. He mentioned it a few times, called the spiral of time.
Wow.
And that if you wanted to go back or forth, future or past, you had to build a bridge to the next spiral arm.
Interesting. Well, that's an interesting concept, and it's been talked about and theorized. But, yeah, exactly. If you could build a bridge to the left or to the right, you know, maybe you would be going back in time if you're to the left. You know, it depends on the direction that you're going. And visit the future.
He also said that there was no such thing as a paradox. That if you went back in time and, let's say, killed Hitler, that time would automatically shift in everybody's head. And from whatever day you killed Hitler, nobody would know.
Wow, he actually mentioned, this time traveler actually mentioned Hitler.
Right, he mentioned Hitler as a person if you went back to kill.
Right, and I'm sorry, Jeff, and we're running out of time. I want to get some more information out of you here, so I'm going to be rapid fire. He was a time traveler from Earth, right?
Correct. From our future.
From our future, not from the past, but from the future. And he was here to help out the current president in 82, which would have been, was that Reagan?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan.
Right. And wow, that is total. And for an hour, did you guys discuss other stuff besides politics? Did you find out anything about the World Series in the future or anything like that?
Like I said, he was very vague. I tried to press him on multiple times. I tried to press him about what the future was like and things like that. I never asked him to predict a game or anything like that, but he was vague intentionally. But we talked about the philosophies and physics of time travel. But he was he said it all had to do with the spiral of time.
Wow. Hey, Jeff, thank you for the phone call, and shoot me an email. Just click on it or go over to my website and shoot me an email. I'd like to hear more about this. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You have a good night. Let's go to Maine. Let's go all the way east to Fran. She says she time traveled. Fran, welcome to Coast.
Howdy. It's a boy, not a girl.
It's okay. I didn't say that.
Yeah, I take my number down at the, like, put me back on hold and take my number down at the end of this, and I'll give you my friend's number. He time traveled with me. We arrived, we left at 10 o'clock, and we got back 10 minutes before. We arrived before we left.
Explain.
Well, we had left my boss's house early in the morning. This happened back when we were teenagers. I'm an old man now.
Mm-hmm.
We left at exactly 10 o'clock. I was really into looking at the clock back then. We had this great adventure. We ended up, actually, I guess we space traveled too, because we went through the woods, and when we hiked back to my boss's house, we had to cross train tracks and we had to cross a stream. And I was like, dude, we never crossed these, you know, to get out here. How come we're crossing them now to get back? Something's not right.
Right.
We didn't, you know, cross the tracks. We shouldn't have had to cross them to get back.
Sure.
And when we got back, we arrived. I looked at the clock and it was 10 minutes to 10. And I thought my boss and his whole family had changed the clocks to mess with us. So I called up the operator and she told me it was 9:58. And I was like, it really happened. We had arrived before we actually left.
Wow.
I don't know how it was possible, but I can give you his number at the end of this, and he can verify it for you, too.
Yeah, we'll take care of it. Fran, you stay right there, and we'll get your phone number. Not a problem. You know what? I'm going to go to right here in California, Chris on the wild card. Chris, you've been holding for an hour and a half. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, Mr. Church. I really appreciate your show, and I've been waiting a long time to actually talk about this. This is very interesting. You know, I have an idea and a thought, mirror of my perception, that in reality-wise, we actually have a multi-dimension universe, okay?
Yes.
Think about this. Okay, we have millions upon billions of cells living inside our body to make up what we are as human beings, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, that being stated, why wouldn't there be billions and billions of dimensions as well as multi-universes? And therefore, that being stated, when we have a deja vu on a daily basis, or however many times you have a deja vu going, wait a minute, I was here before, I kind of think that each one of those dimensions are slightly off in time, and somehow they're all interconnected to where you sit there and go, wow, I was just here and I just did this and this is familiar. And
right.
This doesn't make sense. Why right. I'm experiencing this again. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I was just wanting to know your thoughts on that. If that was a possibility that you perceived. Not just that. In the time frame that we're in today, it's really definitely jumped on consciousness on how people are interacting. No, you know, they're not very mean anymore. you know, everybody's starting to be a little bit more warm-hearted, and yeah, okay, there's still a lot of stuff going on the planet, but in reality-wise, it's like we have a subconscious with the conscious that's actually waking up to reality going, whoa, what's really going on here?
Right, right, right. And Chris, you're breaking up a little bit, so I'm actually going to put you on hold. I'm not going to say goodbye just yet, because as the multiverses and the expansion of all of the other universes that are around us, and they do start to expand and start to overlap, what happens in the space that's in the middle where the two universes collide and eventually two different times start to overlap, and what goes on in the middle? And could that be some of the interdimensionality that we see now? Some of the objects, possibly spirits and ghosts and things that we think are spirits or ghosts, could they actually be energy beings from another universe and another dimension? I don't think there's any question about the possibility of that happening. And another example to address exactly what you're talking about, Chris, are when we see objects in the sky, not necessarily UFOs, but those count too as well, or possibly alien craft. Yes, I'm talking about that, but also flying creatures and animals and living things that vibrate just a little bit differently. And they only slip in and out for a second, and we catch a glimpse of them, maybe out of the corner of our eye, and we shoot over and we look really quick and nothing is there, but we saw something. I think that's another example of what possibly could be the overlapping of the multiverse itself. I think that's a great phone call. All right, let's go to first-time caller line, New Jersey, Tony. Tony, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, Jimmy, I have a different perspective. I'm sure you've heard it, but it might have a different twist to it. You've heard of the alter ego, right?
Sure.
Okay, there were people at one time who I think, like Egyptians and different ancient people, not contemporary, could transcend consciousness to higher consciousness.
Well, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
But here is the problem. The concrete world has laws of physics. Those concrete laws, as far as we understand through Euclidean geometry, are laws of duration. So in terms of the way we measure time is how long it takes something to go from existence to non-existence. We're like a dot. A speck, smaller than a spark in the world of measuring life. However, the momentum of all the people who have lived have gone through different ages, like you had the Enlightenment period. Why were those people so brilliant?
Okay, but how was time travel then transcendent?
Okay.
And we have about 1 minute left to the end of the show, and I really want to hear this, Tony, so give it to me.
Okay. I really believe physical transcendence can only happen through a mental transcendence, but your physical body cannot be like Star Trek.
Right.
But yet, there are people who have used mental energy to actually travel into different consciousness,
sure,
where you can be a conduit to a momentum of intelligence that has existed.
Well, isn't that the fun part about it too, as well, to be able to do that and not have to worry about your physical body or not only the logistics and the mechanics of transporting a physical body throughout time, but so you don't have to worry about that. And it's only your mind, and you can safely return back to your body. That, to me, sounds like the ultimate fun thing to do.
Well, it's not just fun. Think about if your alter ego could contact a reality and change it. Then when you awaken, you find out that something has been changed because of your mental transference.
Sure, sure. And there's been a lot written about this, and I've studied it a lot. And if, you know, changing your own reality and leaving your body, going out, fixing something, changing something, and coming back, waking up, you're back in your own body, but you've actually changed the world around
exactly.
You. Yeah. And you know what
the pineal gland is?
Of course.
You don't know how to use anymore?
Well, I try to, don't you?
Well, we don't know how to use it. What it is a vibration that at one time people knew how to vibrate the pineal gland, and it did connect
to the
universe.
Tony, thank you for being the last call on Coast to Coast. I really appreciate it. Great call. Got to thank Dan. Got to thank Bo, George, Lisa, Stephanie, Chris, Tom, Nathan, the crew here at Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter @JChurchRadio, and I'll see you guys out there very soon.